with New York's only local news talk morning radio program. Here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bill Rock, you've got it right. You've got the dates and the participants all in the right order here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, John. Things are okay?
Yeah, things with me are fine. I see you have your green tie on today. Is there any significance?
Well, your listeners can't see, but it is green, and yes, there is significance to it. I did have a note in my bathroom from my secretary saying, be sure you wear green, because after the show, I'm going to introduce the new quarterback of the New York Jets.
Up at City Hall, we're into this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the good news. Here's the bad news. Yesterday, I did an event with Jay-Z. We're walking down the street together, talking about summer streets, which we can talk about, and somebody screams, oh, there's Jay-Z and the mayor, too. I turned to him and I said, it's the mayor and Jay-Z, too. I come into this, you know, your ego gets just totally destroyed. I don't know how I'm going to get up the next day. But somehow or other, I manage to get out of bed. I get ready for this, for Brett Favre. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I haven't met him. We're going to talk later on.
I've never met him either. Yeah.
He's a good quarterback. And
no question about that.
And the elevator operator here in your building says,
Tony.
He says, Brett Favre, best thing to ever happen to New York since Joe Namath. I said, what about the mayor?
Shop liver?
He said, oh, the mayor too.
The assault on the ego, as you
absolutely. The worst was one time I did call 311. The young lady took all the information of some trash or something I saw her, and then she said, what's your name? And I told her, and she said, how do you spell that?
Yes, it's the little things in life, right, that stick in the craw.
But I don't have an ego. I can handle this.
I'm sure you possibly can. while we're near it, the street closings, first one, what, tomorrow?
An experiment. Hope it works. It has worked for 30 years in Bogota, Colombia. It's phenomenally successful. Controversial when it was done, but then everybody. What we're doing is closing the streets from 72nd Street to the Brooklyn Bridge Park Avenue and its extension via Lafayette and 4th Street downtown to no cars from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., three Saturday mornings in a row. Now, your first question is why not Sunday? Because there are a lot of street fairs on Sunday and you don't want to close too many streets at the same time. Why Saturday morning? It's a chance. Why do it at all? It's a chance to see if people would rather go out on the streets. Stores can put out tables and chairs and this music, and somebody's got a dance class and a yoga class, and it's for bicycles and skateboards and pedestrians. And if the weather's good, you hope that people really get a chance to connect with the city, to walk, get some exercise. Good for all of us. I think it'd be very good for businesses. We've worked with virtually every merchant from one end to another, because some had special problems, like a hotel on Park Avenue. How's their people that check in and leave, get a taxi? Worked it out with them. Restaurants and stores, we think they'll do even more business. They're all willing to give it a try. Jeanette Sedek Khan, our Department of Transportation Commissioner, deserves all the credit. Her idea. And we'll see whether it works.
What's the criteria for success?
You know, I was asked that this morning. I think the answer is you'll know. There'll be a lot of people. The buzz will be there if it works, and there'll be an undercurrent if it doesn't. And you'd think that if the weather's this good all three Saturdays in a row, it would build, because people would hear about it and the next week come out and the next week do even more. You know, it's quieter in the summer, but there's lots of tourists, lots of people still in the city, even though, you know, the population of the city does go down in the summer, and certainly traffic goes down. Saturday morning traffic in the summer is very light anyway. So, you know, there's a handful of disruptions. We've got 72nd closed from Central Park over to Park Avenue, then all the way down Park Avenue via Lafayette to the Brooklyn Bridge. So you can go from Brooklyn on a bicycle right
all up the way to the park,
and then through the park up to northern Manhattan. So it's really a long ways. No parking on the streets after 11 o'clock tonight. The big sign's up already, so don't get your car towed. And the cross streets, the major cross streets, will still be open. So it's not going to tie up traffic. Like parades where you can never get across and that sort of thing. So Canal and Houston and 14th and 34th Street and 59th Street, all of those streets will still be open.
I take the Brooklyn Bridge now, both in and outbound. I drive across it, and outbound each day, usually around noontime, something like that, I am fascinated by the numbers of people that are walking across the Brooklyn Bridge and tourists that are there that walk out on it.
One of my secretaries runs the bridge over and back a number of times every day at lunch.
It's wonderful.
It's phenomenal views. If you remember, if you go back and read the stories of when the bridge was built, they didn't think it could handle people, that it would collapse. And there was a panic at one point. I think people started running off the bridge. But it's a great bridge. It's got great views. And, you know, what's going on in the city, and it struck me last night, I went to the Police concert with Sting.
Oh, this wasn't the NYPD.
You know, I always joked that when I grew up, they talked about
the police. NYPD band was going to be playing.
Well, they talk about the, I always joked that when they talk about the police, I thought it was the NYPD. It turns out it's Sting. But they had the NYPD band come on and join the police, Sting's band, the three people, for a number. It was 20,000 people cheering the NYPD. And what I thought about while it was going on, you know, the PD fights terrorism and prevents it, hopefully. The PD fights crime and prevents it, hopefully. The PD gives us, fights for us the rights to get together and to say what we want to say and to protest. And I listen to people who, you know, always find something wrong with the PD. And I looked at these people, you know, police officers, men and women on the stage. They were into it. They were having a great time, thinking, you know, only in this country do we think of the PD as our friends. They're you and me, and they protect us. They ain't perfect all the time. They make mistakes. When you have, you know, that number of people, you're always going to have things. You can always second-guess anybody that's got to make a very difficult decision at the spur of the moment without complete information. But in other countries, they're the enemy. And here, they were not. And I looked at the faces of the people that I could see from where I was sitting in the, it was loud, too, and saying, you and I are a little bit old for this, I think.
I certainly qualify.
Sting and the band are giving $1 million to the city to plant trees, and they're giving some money to PBS, Public Broadcasting. These are really good guys. They made a lot of money, and they're trying to give back. Sting used to be a school teacher in London.
Didn't know that.
And he and his wife couldn't be more charming. And I've done an event with him. It's the first time I met his wife. And the boss was there as well.
Mr. Springsteen.
Yeah, some people would have said Steinbrenner, but you're right. In this case, the boss in this business, and he and his wife were there. And they have a daughter who's a horseback rider, so we talked about horses. But it was a great event. But I just had that feeling, you know, the police here are different. And you see people on the streets of New York, and I've heard this for years, but it's more so, I hope now, people say, come from around the world and say, you know, I was standing on a corner with a map trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go, and a cop comes up to me and said, excuse me, I'm from the NYPD, may I help you? And they are so shocked, because in the rest of the world, doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen that way. Well, no, it sounds like you had a nice evening and for all the right reasons.
It was, and it was late.
And it, well, thank you for getting up early for us here on WOR. Stick around, Mr. Mayor. Hang on just a second. By the way, if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, you can get in the line right now, get in the queue, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. Before we finish up, we will get to your questions. We are coming right back 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. We continue here on the John Gambling Show, 21 after 8 o'clock on a Friday with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. You talk about criticism. I was surprised earlier this week at New York State Senator Malcolm Smith and the situation in Queens where the two suspects that have raped four people have not been apprehended as of yet. And he said, I'm giving NYPD till Friday, then I'm going to call for the state police and the National Guard. I thought it was completely over the top.
You know, people say things in the heat of the moment. Let's give them the benefit of that. The state police and the National Guard don't have anything to do with it here. They've got enough problems of their own. The National Guard is putting themselves in harm's way, sent overseas. An awful lot of National Guard people from around the country have served more than one tour of duty in Iraq, paid a terrible price in lives and disruption in their families. The National Guard, I think a lot of those people never thought they would serve, but that's what they're there for, and they're doing, you know, everything this country could ask, and it's very tragic. Whether you think we should have started the war or not, these are the people we're asking to go over. They're volunteers, and they do, and they put their lives at risk. Our state police, every state trooper I've met, I've actually thought was a pretty smart guy and a woman and very focused. They typically are the local police for a lot of small towns throughout the state. In New York City, they really, because we have the NYPD, they really don't have much of a function. But, you know, they've gotten beaten up a little bit over the Trooper Gate thing. Most of the state police had nothing to do with any of that, and it was a shame. I always felt sorry for them and their reputation, because these are people who are dedicating their lives, and they do put themselves at risk, and it's a dangerous job. But they're not going to come here and look for a rapist. That's the NYPD. Ray Kelly, you can rest assured this is his number one priority.
There's
just a limit to, you know, what you can do. We will eventually find out who, grab him, get him off the streets, put him away for hope ever. But in the meantime, the truth of the matter is, while any rape is one too many, you still are pretty safe in the city.
All right, speaking of external input from other places, did you read the story about Dennis Kucinich looking into the contracts at the Yankee Stadium and Citi Field?
You know, there are certain legislators, there's one or two that come to mind at the state level. I don't want to give them the satisfaction of getting their name in the paper, and some at the federal level, the same thing. They should probably go back to worrying about their own constituencies. If you remember, when I came into office, the city had had a handshake with the Jets, with the Yankees and the Mets to build new stadiums. And I said, look, I'd love to do it, but the economy's changed because of the end of the internet bubble, and it was right after 9/11. We just don't have enough money to build schools and other infrastructure things we really need to. So we just can't go through it. We never signed an agreement. And you got to do it with private money. We'll help to the extent we can. Both organizations came up with something like $800 million in private money. They've built these stadiums themselves. We've put in money for infrastructure, as has the state, new subway stop, train station, roads, that sort of thing around the two new stadiums. And in the case of the city, it actually cost us next to nothing because we had obligations to fix up the old Yankee and Met Stadium, which we don't have to do. So it was money we're going to spend anyways. To make a long story short, two beautiful stadiums will be used by the Mets and the Yankees, hopefully for Subway Series going on in the future, and for lots of other things, concerts and Pope visits and, you know, all the things. And that the city needs those kinds of things. Without those things, we don't have an economy. And I was fascinated by some. I don't like sports. I don't want to spend any money. Get a life. You have to. We have to have these things. It's not just for you. If you like one kind of thing and not the other, you're not going to get yours unless we build both. And these are good deals for the city, a lot of private money going in. You know, the only one we ever didn't get done was the West Side Stadium. You can see nobody even mentions Javits anymore. I mean, we've just given up on trying to expand it. There is no money, and there was private money that would have. The West Side Stadium was a new Javits Center. That's what it was. It was an expansion, and it would have given us everything we needed. And today, we have nothing, and no money, and no prospects, and nobody's even focusing on it.
Do you believe that when the extension of the number 7 line to the West Side, that will be revised? I mean,
No, because the land is going to be now used for office buildings and apartment buildings, and
so the whole convention idea?
Well, no.
Giant convention idea.
But the place where the big expansion of the Javits Center was going to go, which was to the south, and the Jets were going to pay for it, right, in return for using it 10 Sundays a year, that is going to be developed by these other developers, and so there won't be any open space for it. So there'll still be some room to expand the Javits Center, but not a lot, and there's no money for it.
No, but I'm thinking about the future, you know, hoping that there will be
there will not be. We had a unique one time in the history of the world. Everything came together. We had the land. We had the money. We had the spirit. We had, you know, and then the state stopped it. And somehow or other it got tied up as a stadium when, in fact, it was an awful lot more. And we need those awful lot more things. We need Yankee Stadium. We need Shea Stadium. We need to invest in places like Carnegie Hall and Lincoln Center and places like that. We need to invest in parks. Those are the things that make our city attractive to people around the world. And we talked about summer streets. You know, summer streets will get a lot of press around the world. There'll be pictures and papers of people on bicycles and walking and sitting outside having coffee or dancing or, you know, doing their yoga, and those pictures around the world say, hey, you know, maybe I should go to New York and spend some money on my vacation. Maybe I should go there and start a business and create jobs. Maybe I should go there and go get the medical help. Incidentally, David Dinkins had a pacemaker put in. We all wish him well.
Oh, yeah, I hear he's okay.
I mean, it's, you know, to say it's not serious is not quite. It is more routine today. David Dinkins plays tennis almost every day. I was with him last Monday night wearing a red and white seersucker suit. I said to him, how can you do that without getting food down your front, which is what I'd do. So we wish him well, speedy recovery. And he's tough and a good athlete.
Back to the infrastructure real fast before we have to take our half-hour break here. I was having lunch yesterday with one of my sons who has just, he's been working in New York City for a couple of years, but just moved down to the West Side into the Soho area, and he was raving about one of the new parks on the Hudson River. He said, Dad, you just can't even believe how nice this is.
The Hudson River Park, which in all fairness, I must disclose, the chairman of the board of the Hudson River Park is one Diana Taylor, my girlfriend. So I'm conflicted here when I say good things about it.
You're not completely objective.
No, but I think anybody that sees it would say, even if you're not objective, you're accurate. It is spectacular. I mean, who would have thought you could have a park, this narrow strip of land running for miles along the Hudson River? And incidentally, you're going to see another park opening, a narrow, long park, the High Line. I mean, it's all these things. And we're doing a park on the east side, and then we park in Brooklyn. All of these different things make a difference. We've invested an enormous amount of money in the parks. That's what makes the city livable. That's what makes the city exciting and interesting. And that filters into an economy that gives us jobs and tax revenues to help those who are left out.
Will it be hard to finish some of these projects started with the economics that you've been talking about?
That's the challenge. It's always hard. We've got the worst combination in terms of construction costs continue to go up. Hasn't slowed yet, partially because once you're building a building, you keep going. So the demand for steel and cement and labor is still strong. And I've talked to developers as of 2 weeks ago, maybe last time I brought it up with somebody, and it's going up at a couple percent a month. So that's why a lot of these projects, you plan them, but then it turns out to cost more. And it's hard to forecast. Nobody thought we'd have this kind of inflation in that. And at the same time that we have this inflation in some things, we have the credit crunch, so you can't get money to do it. And our tax revenues are starting to go down because Wall Street's not making any money, and that's going to persist for a long time. And sales tax revenues look like they're going down. Every store owner I talk to, every newspaper I talk to said advertising and sales are starting to fall. So, yeah, we're going to have a great challenge. And that's the challenge for you and me and for the city government, the state government, the federal government. We're all going to have to work together. And I see no reason why the best days for New York aren't ahead, but it's going to be a lot of hard work, and we're going to have to make real choices. And you're going to say, I want this program, and I'm going to say, John, we can't have everything. You know, the public doesn't want to pay more, and there are some. We have to set priorities. Well, your stuff is the most important. Everybody thinks their stuff is the most important. But in the end, when you can't do everything, you have to say no to some things, and that's what government finds so hard to do.
Do you have a timeline? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but as a businessman and mayor, do you have a timeline on this economic hardship? Is it 1 year, 2 years? 3 years?
I don't think anybody knows, but it's certainly not over, and it's not going to come back quickly. Wall Street doesn't have another business to replace the mortgage business, which is where they made all the money. The mortgage business is still having write-downs and will continue to as long as the housing crisis continues and real estate prices continue to go down.
Let's hold that thought, okay, and we'll get into the foreclosure stuff and what the governor has been doing and some other people. We'll do that right on the other side of our break here at 8:31. Karen McHugh's got news. When we continue here, don't forget your chance to talk with the mayor. Ask the questions coming up, 800-321-0710. John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, talking about the economy, foreclosures, the governor this week talking about and signing a bill having to do with people facing it.
Well, you know, Jonathan Mintz, incidentally, who's our commissioner for the Consumer Affairs Office, has really lobbied very hard and has done it for a while up there in Albany. The argument is the issue is the following. People who lose their homes, it's very tragic for them. It's also very tragic for the neighborhood because typically these homes sit there unmaintained, lawns uncut, vandalism, and they bring down the whole neighborhood. So you have a double-barreled effect. It's tragic for the family that loses their home, and then you have all of the issues of how do you make sure the kids still have a place to live and that sort of thing, regardless of whether they should have gotten the mortgage or shouldn't have gotten the mortgage, whether the bank shouldn't have given it to them or should have given it to them. You got to deal with reality. And people, when they lose their house, have an effect beyond their own family. We don't have the resources to make good on people's mortgages, and I don't think it's appropriate that we do. But we have a counseling program that our Consumer Affairs Unit, CAU, has had for a while, and we try to work with everybody to see if there aren't other ways to work it out. And Patterson has signed a bill the legislature passed, which will give you a little more time from when the bank has to notify you, and you have more time to work it out. You know, if you go back, we all wanted everybody to share in the great American dream. And if you go back 5 and 7 years ago, Congress, who totally forgets this, incidentally, pressed to make sure that loans were made every place.
The 1996 Housing Act.
Absolutely. Now, you know, some people, sadly, shouldn't have gotten mortgages, but you stand up back then and say that, you would have been accused of being defeatist or whatever, okay? And whatever, it's history, but that's how we got in this situation, or at least that was part of how we got it. Was there avarice on the part of some mortgage brokers and banks? Yeah, I'm sure there was. Were there people who lied about their incomes and shouldn't have and thought they were scamming the system? Absolutely. Were there people who just thought they would be able to handle this mortgage in good faith, with lenders in good faith who looked at it and said, yeah, there's a reasonable risk that you'll be, a reasonable chance you'll be able to pay your mortgage. You qualify and should qualify, but not, it's never going to be perfect. Not everything's going to work out. Yeah, that was the majority of them. But whatever it is, you got to deal with. Today, people are losing their homes. And, you know, we used to whip ourselves. We are so bad compared to Europe, compared to Asia, compared to Latin America. Yeah, I was looking this morning. The Chinese stock markets are down 50% this year. In London, the foreclosure rate on houses is, and the crime rate is much greater, but depending on how you measure it, than here. I mean, you know, we have lots of problems. We're not willing to face the tough ones. I'm the first one to criticize, but let's put it in perspective. America still is the greatest country in the world. New York City is still, and do apologies to all of the cities, I think it's the greatest city in the world. And we aren't perfect, but we're darn bit better than any place else, and this will go to help.
Speaking of people and where they live, a report from the Independent Budget Office out in the last 48 hours talking about homelessness here in the city, something I know is high on your agenda of dealing with. Are you disappointed at some of the numbers?
Well, I'd hope, yeah, disappointed, yes. I hope we've done more. What we have done is we keep reducing the homeless people on the streets. So it depends what you talk about homeless. If the traditional definition, which you and I would think about, is somebody sleeping on the streets. And that keeps coming down 10-15% a year. It's done it. Linda Gibbs, our deputy mayor for all of the social services and homeless services and all the different agencies, have done a good job. There are a handful of churches which annoy me. They think it's humane or whatever the word is, charitable, to let people sleep on the steps of their church. I don't happen to think so. Those people don't have sanitary services. It's dangerous. It's for their health and crime and everything. We have shelters for people. We have different kinds of shelters, but there'll always be somebody in the streets. Anyways, we've done well. People in shelters. Singles have been brought down a lot. We've closed the big camp upstate, Camp LaGuardia. So we are making progress there. Families, which are typically a mom with a couple of kids, I think is the average. We've not reduced the number. We've made it a lot better. If you remember when I came into office, people used to sleep on benches in the middle of the night. Women would bring in her kids and there's no place for them. That doesn't happen anymore. The shelters themselves are safe. There's virtually no crime. Sanitary, get them a lot of help. We've worked hard to get the other services so that if they qualify for benefits, they can get them. If they don't, we give them counseling and all of that sort of stuff. And maybe the answer is the economy is slowing down. Maybe the answer is we've made shelters more attractive than they used to be. Part of the answer probably is that people aren't living in the city. So the housing supply, there are people living with groups of families together where that's what happens here, and they break up, and particularly in the summer when it's hot and they start arguing. All of those different factors. We set phenomenally ambitious objectives. I still have those objectives. We're not going to walk away, and I'm still going to set big objectives. I'd rather not meet a big objective than to meet a small objective.
Speaking of objectives, crime has certainly been one that has continued to come down. It's one of the great stories of New York. But I read today that there is also a reduction in crime in schools. Do you attribute it to anything in particular?
Yes. It's great cooperation between the Department of Education and the NYPD. Now, keep in mind, before mayoral control, they didn't have a common boss between two of them. Here, the mayor is in charge of the police department and the Department of Education. And you, whether they want to work together or not, you make them work together. If they have their differences, you get them in a room and you say, come on, we're going to work this out to my satisfaction. You're not going to get everything you want. You're not going to lose everything that you have, but you got to do it together. And together you see the results. And there are plenty of people who would not have had a safe environment to work in, our teachers and principals, who now do. There are kids who would have not been able to get an education because a handful of disruptive kids, that stopped, or it's a lot less than it used to be. There are a small handful of people that say, oh, police have no business in schools. What are you talking about? Police job, they are friends, they're here to help us. The careers, the next police officers may very well come from our schools, but the police have the responsibility to keep us safe in the workplace and in our homes and on the streets. Schools are part of that. To argue that cops shouldn't be there, what kind of a message is that sending to kids, to tell them cops are bad? I don't think
so. And that they can get away with almost anything they want with no consequence.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder whether these people who are complaining really believe it, or they just, are running for the next office. I don't know. I mean, sometimes the city council or the steps of City Hall, the people who protest, and they have a right to do it, and I'll make sure they can continue to come and do it. But you listen and you think, I wonder what are they thinking? Where did they grow up? They ever see the rest of the world? There's not somebody that's responsible for every bad thing that happens. Just stuff happens, and we just have to deal with it and make the best of it and get on with it. And on balance, things are awful good here. Schools, low crime is good for everyone, and you're not going to do it without having rules and regulations enforced. And particularly, look, we have kids with guns. We have kids with knives. To say that the police shouldn't be there is just ridiculous. The numbers that we released last week were for a bunch of what we call impact schools, where the crime was really severe, where you'd walk into the schools and the kids would be out in the halls, running up and down the halls, and the teachers say, come into classrooms, and they'd tell them where to go, and that stopped. We brought down crime 75-80% in some of these schools. Do we still have crime? Yes, we have 1,100,000 kids, which is roughly the population of Detroit. Do you ever go one day in Detroit without a problem? No. Do you ever go one day in our school system without a problem? No. But I think we haven't had a rape in the last year in a school, which with 1,100,000 kids and
the track record
100,000 adults and the track record of the past, if that isn't progress and reason to have mayoral control, I don't know what is.
You have, in the past week here, had some comments on the national scene. You commented on President Bush's harangue against the Chinese, and you were just telling me before we went on the air that he did it again in China.
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, listen, I don't agree with the president on a lot of things, but I thought that he's done two things really right here. One, he is going, he's there now, to the opening ceremonies. China is an enormous business partner. We sell to them, we buy from them. They have 1,300,000 people. You can't live in a world without, as a superpower, they're a superpower, you got to deal with them, that sort of thing. They would find this as particularly insulting if the president didn't go. It's a chance for China to show the progress that they've made. Having said that, there's some things that they do that we think are totally wrong, and it's also up to us to say so, and not just for you and me, but the president who leads this country, whether you voted for him or not, or like him or not. And he has stood up and he has said, in a diplomatic way, because we still have to deal. You can't just walk in and say, yell at him. He did it the other day from outside of China. And then today he got there and he gave a similar speech talking about, yes, the progress China's made. They are much more open than they used to be. They've brought 600 million people into a world where they have individual apartments and bathrooms and cars and schools and that sort of thing. But there's also an enormous number of people who are living on a dollar a day. And there's many too many abuses of people's rights to practice their religion, freedom of speech, the things that we hold dear. President should go to the opening games. He did. The president should speak out, and yes, he has. And I think when he's done something you agree with, you should tell him or say thank you or say it's the right thing.
Poll this week shows that if you run for governor, you walk away with it with no trouble at all. Was that encouraging to you, and has that motivated you?
It's motivated me to work harder, but as I've said 1,000 times to David Patterson again the other day, I am not going to run for governor. I've got, I think it's 510 days left to go. I think, the mayor's job is the most wonderful job. It's a job that I love. It's a challenge. I can't tell you that every day is good. Sometimes it's a little tougher to get out of bed and get going in the morning. Sometimes you wish you had a little more privacy or a little more free time. Sometimes you pick up the papers and you just, say, oh, what am I doing this for? There's got to be something going right in the world.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because you wouldn't be a regular person if you didn't look at that and go, why am I doing this?
But having said, then you get on the subway in the morning and people say, good job, Mayor. And you say, I know why. I've told the story before. I was coming out of the subway. This is not 6 months ago. This woman holding this little baby. And as I'm coming up the stairs on a rainy day, she said, good job, Mayor. And I said, well, thank you very much. It's your baby who, gets you 6 months old. I said, well, the good news is we're improving the schools. And when your child gets ready for school, they will be ready for her. And she looked at me very earnestly and she said, I know as long as you're mayor, the schools will keep getting better. And I thought to myself, the last 6 years have been worth it for that one comment.
There you go. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is yours. You'll ask the questions when we come back at 800-321-0710. 10 before 9 o'clock. Coming right back. Mr. Mayor, we got a full bank of phones here at 6 minutes before 9 o'clock. What do you say we start with Joan out in Long Island? Joan, you've got the mayor. Go.
Yes, good morning, Mayor. Congratulations to you. You're the best thing that's ever happened to New York City.
You and my mother think that. You're probably the only two, but thank you.
Yeah, that's all right. You'd make a great governor, but please don't leave the city. My question to you today addresses the shortfall of money for the MTA. I can't understand, and please explain to me, why there cannot be a toll on the East River bridges, and also why there cannot be a charge on the Staten Island Ferry. I realize you're going from one borough to another.
All right, Joan, let's get the answer to that, okay?
The answer to your question is politics. We want services. and we've got to pay for them. The federal government can print money. We don't have that luxury. So no question about it. If we're going to have an expanded MTA, a better MTA, mass transit to going out to Long Island and up to Westchester and Rockland, we're going to have to come up with some money. We came up with the idea of congestion pricing, which would dissuade you from driving, but give us the money to expand mass transit so you had the alternative. Without the alternative, you can't give up your car. Politics got in the way. One of the state assembly refused to vote on it. We had every union, every advocacy group, the polls in out on Long Island and up in Westchester and in every borough in New York City were 2-1 in favor of doing it. Whether you toll the bridges or you use technology to look at license plates or have easy pass checkpoints and other roads, it's all pretty much the same thing. You could go, and tolling the bridges actually makes a lot of sense. It's easier to do. It is bigger than it includes Upper Manhattan. And there are lots of variations, Joan, but the bottom line is some of the legislators didn't want to go on the record and vote for it or be forced to vote for it against. It would have passed with a very big majority if it was brought up to the vote. But what they do is they don't bring it up to a vote so everybody can go home and say, you know, Joan, what do you like? You like it? Oh, yeah, yeah, I would have voted for it. And then, John, you don't like it? I wouldn't have voted for it. I would have voted against it. But it's plain and simple the governor, politics. And it may very well come back because we don't have any other revenue sources whatsoever. And that's for MTA capital projects. The MTA also has an enormous operating budget deficit.
The governor has asked Washington or has said Washington should come forward on these capital projects. Yeah,
Washington's bankrupt. Washington, the Highway Trust Fund is literally almost out of money. We are going to get less from Washington, and you know their eyes glaze over when we go down there and ask them for money. This is something we're going to have to do ourselves.
All right, Joan, thanks for the phone call. This is Nate out there on Long Island as well. Hi, Nate.
Hey, John, how you doing?
All
good,
right.
Morning, good morning, Mr. Mayor. I know you do jump out of bed every morning. You can't fool us. You're doing a great job. Here's my question for you.
Yep.
I know we're running out of time. Ahmadinejad plans on coming to New York in September. As a taxpayer and as the mayor, is there anything we could do to stop him from using taxpayer dollars for security? He taunts the United States. He wants to destroy
us. All right, let's get an answer.
We have a responsibility to provide security as part of our deal with the United Nations. Every city takes care of their own. We may get some help from the federal government, not a lot, and they've promised us security. They're supposed to be paying for all the security we provide for the United Nations and our federal government, not the Iranian federal government. Our federal government doesn't give New York City the money they owe them, so let's, you know, be careful. Look, the United Nations being here is a very big boon to our economy. It brings an enormous amount of business and tax revenues in. It does cost us something in terms of security. And if we're going to have it here, it has to be open to anybody. I find this guy totally reprehensible, disgusting. I disagree with virtually everything he's ever said. But we're going to make he's going to be safe. And one of the reasons we have to make sure that he's safe is because you're going to be on the streets and you've got to be safe, too. So, you know, it's like freedom of speech now. A lot of people say things that I really find distasteful and disgusting, but if you're going to take away their right to say it, then they're going to take away our right to say it. So hopefully the guy comes, gives his rant, looks like a fool, and leaves.
All right, we've got Annette up next here. Annette, what you got a buggy problem, huh?
Hello?
Yes, so you're on the air. Go.
Yes, I do. Hi, Mr. Mayor?
Yep.
Hi, good morning, and good morning, John. The both of you are doing great jobs.
Thank you.
A quick question or a suggestion. I know there are bed bugs all over the city, all over, and also, John, don't think Long Island doesn't have them. We do, too.
What's your question? We're almost out of time.
Okay. A place that when someone has the problem, that they can call to put these items in a place that they can get disposed of so that they are not recycled. There was a problem. My daughter had a problem out in Astoria, and everything.
You mean the recycling mattresses or something like that?
Well, no. Some place where it can be thrown away. What happened was we threw away everything in her apartment, everything. She walked out with just the clothes on. Well, not actually. But anyway, everything was thrown away, and then everything was picked up by the people in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Just spreading it around.
So. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right that that's exactly what happens when you put it out to be thrown away.
Surprise. They got.
Yeah, less, but the people, it is a problem. I, you know, don't have any great suggestions for you. I will mention it to sanitation and see if they have any brilliant ideas. Let's take one more. Why don't we get Howard?
Howard, real fast. Go right to it. Get to it.
Hi, hello, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment regarding the commuter taxing concept. I've been driving in New York for about 38 years, so I have like a.
What's the bottom line, Howard? Because I got to go.
Okay. Bottom line is the problem is not the drivers. It is that you have city workers parking and no parking areas. You have buses not parking.
We've cut there is an abuse in the parking placards. We've cut it down 20%. We're working on more. That's not the big problem. However, it may be annoying when you see it. The bottom line is we have too many cars trying to come into the city. We're not going to have any more roads. We've got to give people an alternative. That's mass transit. And the only ways we're going to get mass transit, more mass transit, and more places, more safer and faster, and more is we get some money.
You've got to go loosen up your arm here. You got to go play catch with Brett Favre.
I'm just so annoyed. I mean, I could have been the new Jet quarterback.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, we'll catch you Monday. Have a good
News
weekend.
Talk Radio got...